WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The federal government shut down just after midnight after a Republican-backed spending plan failed to pass the Senate. President Trump says that's not necessarily a bad thing.
A lot of good can come down from shutdowns. We can get rid of a lot of things that we didn't want, and they'd be Democrat things.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries is warning the president against mass layoffs.
He will be held back by the courts if he takes this aggressive action, which violates the law.
According to one estimate, up to 750,000 federal workers could be furloughed without pay each day. Molly Meniere is among them.
I am the primary breadwinner of my household, so we will be tightening belts. We will be eating down the last bits of the freezer.
Essential workers like military troops and air traffic controllers will have to report to duty, also without pay. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A proposed bill seeking to push back the enforcement date of recently adopted building codes was heard in a state assembly committee this week. The legislation was proposed by a group of Republican lawmakers and seeks to delay the start of enforcement until April of 2026. Enforcement was originally scheduled to begin on Wednesday, but the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services pushed that deadline back to November 1st amid concerns from the construction industry over inflation, workforce shortages, and supply chain issues. A recent report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum found that the state's alcohol-induced death rate is declining but still remains above pre-pandemic levels. According to the report, nearly 1,100 Wisconsin residents died due to alcohol-induced causes in 2024. The state's alcohol-induced mortality rate was 18.2 per 100,000 residents, significantly higher than the national average of 13.9 last year. In 2019, the state's alcohol-induced mortality rate was only 14.9 per 100,000 residents. The Barron Electric Cooperative's Board of Directors has approved the return of over $1.2 million to over 16,000 current and former members through cashback credits. Checks will be distributed at a pair of Cooperative Month events that will be held on October 7th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Barron Electric's office in Spooner and October 9th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Barron Electric's office in Barron. Members who are unable to attend one of the events will get the remaining checks mailed to them by the end of October. Stepping Stones of Dunn County is asking area residents for their clean, undamaged egg cartons to help support their food pantry. Organization officials say they sometimes receive egg donations that come in buckets and need the cartons for distribution to residents using the food pantry or one of their pop-up pantries. Egg cartons can be dropped off at the organization's donation door near Stout Road Monday to Friday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. A list of upcoming pop-up pantry events, including two on Thursday, is also available on the organization's social media pages. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers warming up. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers worked out at AmFam Field as they wait to find out who they'll play Saturday. The Cubs beat the Padres 3-1 in game one of their best-of-three-game wildcard series. Brewers catcher William Contreras had another MRI on his left hand that's bothered him all season, manager Pat Murphy.
You're not going to be able to keep William out no matter what the analysis is of that injury. He's going to play.
NFL, Matt LaFleur on what went wrong in the final minute in overtime that led to the Packers settling for a tie with the Cowboys.
When we're not in two-minute mode and then you jump into two-minute mode, everybody on the field has to know that. And we were operating more of our, you know, no huddle tempo, which isn't warp speed. It's a bad look, quite honestly. And it's just the communication and process have got to be cleaned up because we can't allow that ever to happen again.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
93.5 The Tap. Eau Claire's real news and great conversation and home for the Todd Allball Show. Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
It is going to be another partly cloudy, warm day today. Our high right around 79 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunny, a little breezier with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matner. You're a coffee drinker.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning for most of my career. Yeah. You need coffee.
Something.
Or a slap across the face or something. How much coffee do you drink a day? How many cups
not
of coffee?
Not as much as you might think. Maybe 2 16-ounce cups, more or less. Maybe not quite that much some days.
Zahmer, is that true?
I mean, from what I can verify, I don't know what he drinks in the privacy of his own home.
No right. One knows.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Matt Nair on air.
He joins us every Friday at this time for some recombobulation. He is also Civic Media's political editor. Dan Schaefer is here.
Tom Tiffany has made it official. He is running for governor. I think he is a Trump endorsement and a strong fundraising quarter away from clearing the field.
Well, but Tony Weed has endorsed him, which is like being Trump adjacent.
It's like the transitive property of endorsements.
Yes.
It's the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, only just sad.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Ever hear conservatives explain away Charlie Kirk's racism by saying, oh, he was taken out of context? I debunk that baloney in full at 5:30. Do not miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, thank you, Don Rue. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Wednesday morning, and are you prepared to hear this? Wednesday morning, October 1st, 2025. We have flipped the calendar. We are in the fourth quarter of the year. Christmas carols are not that far off. Well, temperatures in the upper 80s are actually closer than that, thanks to a really unusually warm week that we're having here. So listen for forecast details throughout the day here on the Civic Media Radio Network. But yeah, we made it to October, and I appreciate you being here from wherever you're spending your mornings up north listening to us, whether it's on the radio or through social media. Through podcast. It's great to have you starting your day right here. I do have another question for you. Are you ready for a new member of Congress from Wisconsin, specifically from up north? I know we've spent a lot of time talking about some of the other congressional districts in Wisconsin that may be at play in 2026, but there's going to be an open seat up north in the very large 7th congressional district where the incumbent Republican Tom Tiffany has decided to run for governor. So that's going to open things up. A lot of people have been talking about running for Congress up in northern Wisconsin in the 7th District, and we are going to break a little news about that at 8:35 this morning. So you're going to want to stick around till then, or you're going to want to come on back. Better yet, you can also have this with you all the time as a podcast. Head over to Spotify and sign up and follow us. And again, we'll be breaking a little news about the 7th Congressional District 2026 election coming up in our final half hour together on this Wednesday morning. Also coming up along the way, we are going to be talking about, of course, the federal government shutting down, which is exactly what Donald Trump and others who really don't like the government are doing. What do I always say? People who hate government the most should be trusted the least to run it competently. And we are full of people right now who do not like our government, who do not like the services that it provides, and are slashing and burning their way to tax cuts for the super wealthy at the expense of all kinds of healthcare, nutrition, farm education, and other programs. And the thing is, they're still making up stuff about it, somehow making it sound like it's not their fault, even though they're the ones who control the House, they control the Senate, they control the White House, and yet somehow they can't pass a federal budget. And that's why we're shut down. It's pretty much by design. And by the way, this is not just at the federal government level. There are state government programs that have gone away. And again, Republicans are trying to blame anybody but themselves for it. For example, we recently had the closure of two facilities in the state, including one here in Chippewa Falls, that take care of homeless veterans and provide them with resources to get back on their feet and to get a permanent roof over their heads. And Republicans in the legislature zeroed that out of the budget, and yet somehow want to claim that it's not their fault that these programs came to an end. And by the way, Congressman Derek Van Orden could have done something about it at the federal level, and he chose not to. So we'll tell you all about that coming up this morning. We will also get to meet an hour from now, Ellie Bordeaux. Ellie is the newest member of the team here at Up North News. She puts together our weekday morning newsletter. She's from Oconomowoc originally and is going to tell us all about her story and what it is she wants to do to make sure that the Up North News daily newsletter is appointment reading for all of you when you find it in your mailbox. And we'll talk to Melissa Baldoff in our climate check segment during our 8 o'clock hour about the Trump administration announcing this week they are going all in, a massive investment of your tax dollars in coal, in bringing coal back to prominence. I don't know how many of you have houses old enough to have a coal chute or you have to shovel coal into your furnace, but you might need to consider building one, because that's the direction this administration wants to go in. So we'll talk to Melissa about that along the way. Also along the way, we'll have your comments and questions if you care to share them. Many ways to do it. You can head into the comment sections of Facebook and YouTube for Up North News or for Civic Media. Better yet, get that Civic Media app and use the text feature and send us a note that way, or use the voice note feature and record a little note for us, and we may play it back as well. And producer Parker Olson down in Madison Studio A2 tells us that the phones are once again functional in Studio A2. Good morning, Mr. Olson. Can you confirm?
I can confirm. Just give me a second to remember to do the thing that makes it positive that they work every morning.
Okay. Apparently he's got to talk sweetly to it or something to make sure that it works properly.
Essentially, yes. We've discovered that for whatever reason, they're a little temperamental.
And we still believe this is the 855-75 Civic phone number?
We do believe so. Yes.
We do believe so. Okay. We do believe. I haven't used that number for so long. Let's see if I can do it from muscle memory here. 855-75 Civic, 855-752-4842. Oh, hey, he did it. Oh, so if you'd like to give that a go and Parker picks up and you tell him what you want to call about, there's a chance that he puts you on hold. He lets me know all about it. And then we get to talking about maybe the shutdown, who you think is to blame, or how we get out of this. Do Democrats end up caving in the end and giving up on trying to reinstate some of the health care cuts that Republicans made earlier this year? Or do Republicans feel the pressure and restore some of those health care cuts that they made earlier this year? Or you might want to go in a different direction altogether and say talk baseball, where there were four baseball games yesterday in the wild card round. Did you see any of them, Mr. Olson?
I had them all on at some point. I did not watch any of them very intently.
Yeah, that's my way. Yeah, it was wallpaper for me. It was in the background when I could watch the TV, and I'll tell that story in a second here. But for folks who didn't see, the Cubs defeated the Padres 3-1. The Detroit Tigers defeated Cleveland 2-1. The Red Sox defeated the Yankees 3-1. And then late last night, the Dodgers stomped all over the Cincinnati Reds 10-5. So in all cases, now again, these are three-game series all in the same ballpark, and they're best 2 out of 3. So later today, the Cubs, the Tigers, the Red Sox, and the Dodgers could advance to the National League Division Series. Or the Padres, the Guardians, the Yankees, the Reds could all tie it and force a deciding third game on Thursday. We're all watching the Cubs and Padres because it's the winner of that series that comes to American Family Field come Saturday to kick off the National League Division Series. And I, for one, Parker, I'm very happy to have a couple of days off here for the Brewers to get healthy and ready to go.
Yeah, I think so. I think they could use a little bit of health gathering, if you could call it that.
Mm-hmm. A little recuperation.
Recouping, yeah. I would like a little more energy would be nice with the bats particularly.
Yes. Tony on YouTube, how dare you suggest Cleveland loses today? I did not suggest. It's possible. It could happen, Tony. It's baseball. That's what do they say? That's why you play the game. is to find out who's going to advance on this. But
sports
anyway,
are much more fun on the field than they are on paper.
Yeah. So I mentioned that sometimes I could watch TV yesterday. Sometimes I could not because somebody from Spectrum came in and I almost made him faint when I showed him our setup down behind the, you know, the ceiling and the basement and everything. At one point, he's going through so many cords and he pulls this mess of coax out that I'm showing Parker now. It's all attached to some kind of an amplifier device. And he's like,
how long is that?
You don't need this anymore. And he just hands it to me and says, here, can you throw this away? I'm like, okay, it's a splitter. It's a power source. It's a big old-fashioned coax cable.
Yeah.
And then he took something else out of there. You have to keep in mind, we've been in that house for 30 years. And we've had the cable has been run to different outlets in different rooms over the years.
Oh, sure.
As we've changed things around. But nothing's ever been taken out. It's only been added. So, I mean, we look like an old fashioned, you know, telephone switchboard down there in the basement. And that poor fella had to figure out why occasionally we were having internet hiccups.
Because he got too much crap that it's got to go through.
It's a little counterproductive to try to do a radio show if your internets aren't working all the time. And yet there were no Spectrum outages in the area. So we finally had to have a tech come out and he looked up around down there. He's like, I think I can find the problem. And he did. He found that in one case, again, the old style coax cables, you know, they're kind of rigid. They're a little flexible, but they're not supposed to bend at 90 degrees.
No.
And one of them was real close to that because so many other cables and things had been bunched up in there putting pressure on it. And so he switched that out and he removed this amplifier thing that he said we didn't need anymore because, again, we date back to analog signals and not digital signals. Oh. I know I sound like I'm burning coal in the furnace down in the basement here, but it wasn't that terribly long ago that we had the latest technology. It was analog technology, but it was the latest analog technology.
It was high tech at the time.
Yes, it was high techy tech. So, you know, we did a little cleaning up down there, shall we say. Now there's more cleanup to do because that involved removing a lot of the ceiling tiles, the fake ceiling suturnets. So everything's kind of in the rafters down there in the basement, but we'll get it all put back. And it still looks clean enough up above the ceiling tiles and below, of course, the main floor. Sure. And I say that because we had the worst experience once with the false ceiling in the basement.
It led to
a moment of horror for any homeowner.
A raccoon fell through.
Close. We were noticing that every so often we'd see, and this is a few years back now, we'd see a wasp and we'd kill it, and then we'd see another wasp and we'd kill that. And pretty soon we're noticing, like, we have a lot of wasps here, you know?
Those don't like it in houses.
Yeah. And then I went downstairs and I noticed, there's quite a few in that room. It's a guest bedroom now. It used to be a kid's playroom.
That's a terrible place for a guest bedroom if it's got a lot of wasps.
Yeah. The guests are not going to want to come there. I thought, well, how is this happening? So I start to move one of the ceiling tiles with a broomstick because I don't want to get too close.
All of a sudden.
And I see something so horrific. It made me want to both scream and vomit at the same time. You know that space between the rafters, between the floor joists, whatever they're called there, you got about 16 inches between them.
Yeah.
Was a wasp nest about 6 feet long.
Oh my God.
By that 16 inches or whatever. What had happened was there used to be a dryer vent. Again, as we're moving things around, we had moved the dryer vent at one point, thought we had sealed the hole well enough, had not.
Oh.
And over a period of months and months, wasps had built a wasp nest that was, 5 to 6 feet long above the false ceiling in our basement. We had to call in professionals who were like, you're going to need to leave the house for a little while here. And bug bomb that place and clean it all up. And we haven't had a problem since, but you know what a wasp nest, I mean, it's not a nice little bee's nest, but look at the little honeycomb.
Yeah, no,
a wasp nest looks kind of like an alien.
It's a fortress.
That alien skin or something.
Yeah.
It is horrific. And you see this thing and you see it's getting longer and larger and larger. And it was like a horror movie. And I go upstairs. I'm like, we are going to have to leave for a little while.
We're not coming back.
So no wasps this time. And the cable that may finally be in the 21st century. Here's hoping. Till the next, you know, big new technology that I'm going to be horribly out of date dealing with. We will talk about a different kind of dysfunction. That would be the shutdown of the federal government. That's coming up in just a moment. First, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A step forward for clean energy in Wisconsin, the Public Service Commission has approved its first wind farm in 14 years. The Badger Hollow Wind Energy Center will be built in Iowa and Grant counties. At the same meeting, commissioners also approved a new solar farm in Walworth and Jefferson counties. It might be fall, but it sure doesn't feel like it. Some Wisconsin communities like Milwaukee have already seen record highs, and that's bad news for our fall colors. Experts with the Wisconsin State Climatology Office say warm fall nights mean more muted leaf colors. And yep, climate change is making our nights hotter and hotter. Right now on the Defender podcast, AI data centers are racing ahead in Wisconsin, but staggering energy and water demands raise serious questions. Tune in for an in-depth discussion on data center secrets at CleanWisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Once again, coming up after 7 o'clock, we'll meet Ellie Bordeaux, our new newsletter editor here at Up North News. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. We love this partnership weekday mornings from 6 to 9, and we want to make sure that our friends at Civic Media know how much we appreciate that, including making sure you know that we want you signing up for their newsletter as well as ours, Civic Media Today. Head over to civicmediatoday.substack.com. for all kinds of little news notes, links to show highlights, and much more. Of course, we've got not just the weekday newsletter that Ellie puts together, but I've got one on Sunday mornings that has a focus on politics rather than just Wisconsin features that you can sign up for at upnorthnewswi.com. It includes our question of the week, which you've heard me mention before, is, you know, who's going to cave? How is this government shutdown going to end? You know, for example, the last time there was a government shutdown, it ran for 35 days. There was a lot of inconvenience. It cost the economy a lot. It was extremely expensive, extremely unnecessary, and Donald Trump forced that one as well. It was back in 2019, and he got nothing by the time it was all said and done. He made some kind of symbolic claim of victory, but he shut things down because he was demanding more money for building a wall at the border. He brought so much disruption to people's lives for his little pet project, rather than, you know, embracing comprehensive immigration reform, which would have improved border security and helped make sure that people can be processed, come to this country and work and feel safe and secure and not feel like masked secret police are going to beat them and round them up, which is hardly what you want for America 2025. So how does this one end? Because again, the Republicans took away more than $1 trillion in Medicaid. They're going to jack up everybody's health insurance premiums later this year. Even if you don't get your insurance off the Affordable Care Act marketplace, chances are you're going to see a premium hike as well to help offset the increased health care costs of what Republicans did. So Democrats are saying, look, if you want to pass a federal budget and you can't agree amongst yourselves and you need our vote, here's our price. Put some of these health care cuts back. Of course, Trump and Republicans saying no, they would like to keep those cuts, and they are happy shutting down the government and inflicting pain. They were willing to do it in 2019. They're willing to do it now. So we're in a case of who blinks first, which is completely unnecessary, foolish, and juvenile. But again, as I say, the people who hate government the most should be trusted the least to run it competently. And we're getting that proved once again. It is not the, well, let me say another thing about that. There were a couple of votes yesterday in the Senate about trying to, you know, avoid a government shutdown. And there was a proposal by Democrats that said, look, we will go along with reopening the government if you extend the Affordable Care Act subsidies that are set to expire at the end of this year. And of course, the Republicans voted along party lines. No. So they are on record saying they want health insurance to cost more next year. There's also things like the National Park Service says they're going to keep the parks largely open, even though there are a lot of concerns about damage and overflowing garbage cans and toilets and things like that that happened during the last government shutdown. Trump also says he'd love to see more federal job cuts, not just furloughs, but actually firing people. And he said, when asked about that, he said, well, they're going to be Democrats anyway. I mean, what a point of view to have on your fellow Americans is to say, well, if you're working for the federal government to help and serve other people, you must be a Democrat. Not that that's an insult, but again, talk about a broad sweeping generalization and somebody who could not care less if government functions properly or not. But by the way, not the only instance where you have Republicans trying to blame Democrats for damage that they're causing. Earlier this month came the end of some facilities for homeless veterans, one of them here in Chippewa Falls. And as a result, that one and the other in Green Bay, they closed officially on September 12th. From the budget money ran out for it yesterday. And there's a story behind this. Governor Evers did allocate $1.9 million in his budget request to keep the program running. Republicans didn't want to put $1.9 million into it. So you know how every time they take Governor Evers' budget and they just trash it, they zero out everything and then they write their own budget? Well, they never wrote anything in for that line. They never replaced the $1.9 million with maybe, say, a smaller amount. Give a listen to State Senator Dianne Hesselbein, the Senate Democratic leader, as she explains not only that Republicans in the legislature refused two other attempts to put it in, but that Congressman Derek Van Orden could have maybe requested federal funds for this as well.
There also was a lane for Congressman Van Orden to get this done on the federal level. He could have requested the funds needed to keep the facility in Chippewa Falls open, but he didn't, which is surprising given his made-up involvement with our state budget to begin with. He could actually have done something and proven to be a winner, but he didn't. He did nothing. We are here fighting for our veterans. We were ready to vote on this in joint finance. We were ready to vote on the amendment that came to the floor, and we are still standing strong on these standalone bills. We can get this done. We are willing to work together. Not only that, we want to work together. But unfortunately, it's the Republicans' decision to vote these efforts down, to close these facilities, and to turn their backs on Wisconsin veterans. That has been their choice and their solution.
And it was seconded by Republican State Senator Eric Wimberger of the Green Bay area, who again loves to put out the press releases attacking Governor Evers, saying, well, he could have just moved the money from some other pot into that. it's not that easy, and he knows that. He knows the legislature would have to approve any kind of fund transfer like that. So rather than that, why not own up to your mistake and vote, have a clean vote on putting the money back into homeless veterans rather than playing politics with it? It just makes no sense. But then again, I've watched, and for some people, it seems to make perfect sense to them. Today's history lesson starts with a little Johnny Carson. After this, you're up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Coming up, we're diving into the heart of the grain markets. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you on a Wednesday. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing in West Bend, joins us with a powerful insight. Corn demand isn't just steady, it's exceptionally strong.
The 2025-26 marketing year is the best start to the to corn export program that we've ever had. It eclipsed the 2020-21 program year with the strong sale pace. And what's interesting about that is in 2021, China bought 48% of that corn. And we're doing that this year without any Chinese purchases on the corn side either. So again, it just shows you how things kind of shifted on the global demand as China moved its business elsewhere. Other importers have stepped up and really bought U.S. corn in a strong clip.
John Heinberg along with us. He's a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. Stick around for a look at how markets finished yesterday after this.
At Steffes Auctioneers, we don't just sell, we guide. Knowing what your equipment or land is worth isn't just a number, it's clarity. It's the first step in making smart decisions for your future. That's why we offer honest, market-based valuations with no pressure to sell. Just insight you can trust. Start with the conversation or start with the valuation. Steffes Auctioneers. We don't just sell, we guide. Not sure where to start? Let's talk. Visit steffesgroup.com right now. That's steffesgroup.com.
BioVet combines the latest research and technology to develop high-quality microbial and nutritional solutions for your operation. BioVet's innovative product line supports the immune system, digestive function, reproduction, along with growth and development of your livestock. Learn more at bio-vet.com and visit us at World Dairy Expo booth number EH1503 and 1504. EH1503 and 1504.
Innovation. On the close yesterday from Chicago, corn prices pulled back as USDA found a few more bushels than the trade had expected in their latest report. December corn down 6 cents at 415.5. Soybeans also easing lower despite some tighter stocks numbers. November soybeans down 8.75 cents at 10.01¾. Cash wheat closed 11.5 cents lower at 508 a bushel. July 2026 new crop wheat down 9 cents at 551¾. The 40-pound block cheese continued its higher trend, closing up a nickel and a half at $1.72. When cheese closed, the October Class 3 milk contract was trading up 24 cents at $17.23 a hundredweight. The November Class 3 milk contract trading up 26 cents at $16.89 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 93.5 The Tap.
It is going to be another partly cloudy, warm day today. Our high right around 79 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunny, a little breezier with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones?
Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved. And frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, should the government bail out our farmers because of the tariff policies instituted by our government? We talk to Darren Von Rudin in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
From beautiful downtown Burbank, it's the Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson took over as host of NBC's Tonight Show on this day in 1962. And that theme there, which became ubiquitous with 10:30, 10:35 weeknights, was originally written by Paul Anka for Johnny Carson. Let's see, we've got another TV note here, and I wish we had our friend Dan Hagen from Channel 12 in Rhinelander, because it's their anniversary today.
Really? Wow.
Happy anniversary to WJFW, Newswatch 12. Signed on this day in 1966 with the call letters WAEO.
Wow.
I don't know if that was supposed to stand for something, but they're now WJFW.
Well, does JFW stand for something?
I don't know.
And see, this is one of life's many questions in media, is what do our letters mean?
Yes. And so now we've got to ring up Dan Hagen or talk to him next week about this. Maybe pop quiz, see if he even knows. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know.
Bet he doesn't. I don't know. I don't have a clue what WMDX.
Well, Madison. That's like an airport abbreviation type thing.
Oh, is the
something like that.
I assumed it was Madison or something.
Let's see. Walt Disney World opened this day in 1971, so 54 years ago today. And then in 1982, Epcot opened at Disney. Epcot standing for the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. What is your Disney World Epcot history?
Some could say it is nada.
Some could say, so no, you've never been.
Never been, no.
Never been. Okay. All right.
Have you been?
So no Disney World. No, It's a Small World. No Cinderella's Castle. No Epcot. No. Okay.
Did you get the kids down there or anything?
We took our girls there in the early 90s when they were 4 and 6 years old, and it was, you know, as magical as you would expect. And then a couple of years back, my younger daughter took their kids when they were like 3 and 6 or 2 and 5, something like that. So the younger one won't have many memories of it, but they had a lot of fun while they were there.
Sure.
You know. And it's funny when you spend that kind of money and you take the kids to Disney World, and the things that they like, you know, are the things that didn't really cost anything, you know. Like
that's
one of the hotels had like a little sandy beach area, and for the sandy beach was the thing that they really liked. You know, it's like you remember Mickey Mouse was there too, right? Anyway. Tony says that Epcot was the least interesting of the different kingdoms. The animal kingdom was amazing. Yeah, there's all these. And then, of course, now you've got the non-Disney option of Universal Studios in all of their parks. Yeah. And so there is so much to see there. And again, it all started with Disney World opening this day in 1971. The Beach Boys released their first album, Surf and Safari, on this day in 1962.
Surfing is the only life, the only way for me now. Surf, surf.
They got a little better.
I was going to say, this doesn't...
This was their initial entry into the music world with Surfing. Look at this from my good friend Melissa Schrader. Says, Pat, WAEO stands for former Congressman Alvin E. Okonski.
Oh!
That makes perfect sense now.
There we go.
Thank you, Melissa. That's awesome. Let's see. The Bradley Center in Milwaukee opened on this day in 1988 and would operate as the Bradley Center till 2018. On this day in 1908, Ford offered the Model T automobile for a price of $825. So back in 1908, $825 would get you a brand new Model T right off the assembly line. It's poor Parker. Money means nothing to him now. These numbers are so different.
Yeah. Wow.
Happy birthday to actress Julie Andrews. She is 90 years old today.
High on a hill was a lonely goat herd, lay, hoodlay, hoodlay, hoo-hoo. Loud was the voice of the lonely goat herd, lay, hoodlay, hoodlay.
I guess I could have had her do the title theme from The Sound of Music, but, you know, a lot of folks know her from that, and gosh, so many other movies along the way as well. Let's see, Zach Galifianakis is 56 years old today. Actress Brie Larson is 36. The late Donnie Hathaway, the singer, was born this day in 1945, passed away in 1979. You of a certain age, you know, my age, will be familiar with Peaches and Herb. Here was their big hit, Reunited. There we go. This is the birthday for the Herb of Peaches and Herb. Herbert Feimster is 83 years old today.
I was a fool to ever leave your side.
Now, the thing with Peaches and Herb is that Herb's always been there. But there's been more than one peach for her.
Well, they go bad eventually.
Seven different women have filled the role of Peaches. And since he started the little group in 1966. Right here, we're hearing Linda Green. She is the third of the seven Peaches. And it's with her that they had their big hits, Reunited. And, of course, Shake Your Groove Thing. Shake Your Groove Thing. Yeah, yeah. On this day in 1975, the Thrilla in Manila, Muhammad Ali defeated Joe Frazier in their third and final boxing match. Frazier failed to win back his heavyweight title, conceding after the 14th round. Now, back then, you didn't get to see major events like that live on TV. You could go to like sports arenas and do pay-per-view, and it would be put up on a massive screen.
Oh,
but then it would be on TV like a week or two later.
Yeah.
And part of the reason I don't get into Ultimate Fighting today or even boxing is having grown up watching Muhammad Ali. It's like, I mean, there's just nobody's going to be better. Nobody. And it was just to watch him as a boxer was to watch, you know, the poetry of that sport. And I know there's a lot about boxing being violent and everything else. But if you're going to watch it, you watch those fights. On this day in 1982, Donald Fagen of Steely Dan released his solo album, The Night Fly. On this day in 1903, the first game of the modern World Series as the Boston Americans would play the Pittsburgh Pirates. The number one song this day in 1983 was by Bonnie Tyler.
Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you never come.
Now that made Bonnie Tyler the first singer from Wales to top the charts. It was one of so many epic songs that were written by the late Jimmy Steinman. And I believe we'll talk more about Jimmy Steinman in a week or two in the history lesson, because he had all the Bat Out of Hell and Paradise by the Dashboard Light, all these other epic songs, and Total Eclipse of the Heart was one of them. All right, kind of a melancholy anniversary note to share. It was on this day 8 years ago that a gunman opened fire in Las Vegas during Jason Aldean's set at the Route 91 Harvest Festival from his suite across the way at the Mandalay Bay Hotel. He would shoot nearly 500 people, wounding 413 people, killing 60 in the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. Again, he shot about 500 people after firing more than 1,000 rounds. And it was in large part because of something called bump stocks. And for a time in the wake of that shooting, there was a ban on bump stocks, but the conservative justices on the U.S. Supreme Court last year struck it down, as we have certain politicians, including those in judges' robes, who continue to choose mass murderers over public safety. All right, there's everything that's on the anniversary calendar. Let's look at things on the national day calendar for today. I don't have Bonnie Tyler here in my CD collection, but this is National CD Player Day.
It is.
And so during the last break, when I saw that, Parker, I went over, I've got a cabinet that we never open, and that's where all the CDs are. And so I just grabbed a fistful. This is a representative sample of the CDs that haven't been played in years. So
is
we've got
still on any of them?
ZZ Top, Greatest Hits.
ZZ Top,
got
nice.
That with your the classic, you know, model on the back who's posing for no reason whatsoever.
Of course.
Here's The Police and Synchronicity, one of my favorite albums of the late 1980s. Here's Prince's Greatest Hits Volume 1 is on there. Oh, here's a great one.
Oh, boy.
Bonnie Raitt, Nick of Time. Absolutely. If this is not in your record collection, get Bonnie Raitt's Nick of Time from 1992, I believe. And here's a Lionel Richie Greatest Hits one called Back to Front on there. There's so many. If I started rattling all these off, all the things in the CD collection, my doorbell would ring at some point and I would be escorted to the old folks home and say, okay, Grandpa, that's great. Take your CDs with you.
Reel it
you
in. Know.
Yep, exactly. So this is National CD Player Day. This is National Walk Your Dog Week. I don't have a dog to walk. I do have a neighbor's dog that I walk occasionally. Has a lot of spirit, and I'm afraid it's going to pull our elderly neighbor down. So I tried to go wear out some of the energy on that little furball. Today is Pumpkin Seed Day. You like pumpkin seeds roasted?
I don't know if I've ever had pumpkin seeds, to be honest with you. I've never been a big pumpkin guy.
Okay. I do. I do like them roasted. I just haven't had them for quite a while, so I might have to change that. And this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And again, we say it all the time. We can't say it enough to get all of your screenings done, whether it's for breast cancer or let's just say all the things that could take you out. Is go do that. I had my follow-up with the sleep specialist yesterday.
Oh yeah,
about the CPAP machine.
Seeing a lot of improvement, huh?
Yeah, yes, very much so. You know, your CPAP machine, like everything else in the world, talks to the internet, and so that's what it does. It sends data back to wherever, and she looked it all up, and it's like, oh, you're doing really good. You're breathing and everything else, and that's fine. But again, it troubles me a bit that my CPAP machine is connected to the internet. And, you know, these internet devices are all the time listening to you. So what are the odds that my CPAP machine hears me talking in my sleep? And next thing I know, there's an Amazon package the next day for something I didn't even know I needed, but it came up in my dreams.
I think it's listening to your dreams, Pat. That's what I'm
about. Saying. And if it listens to my dreams, what's it going to order?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well,
what are you dreaming about?
Well, that's just it. I'm one of those who I don't know.
You don't know.
You wake up and for a split second, you're sure you remember everything. And then it's like, it just all goes, and there's nothing.
It's
rare. You cannot bring it back.
It's rare I even get that. I barely ever remember anything at all about my dreams.
I know. And other people, it's like, you know, color TV. You know, they just, everything. They can remember every little detail. And what ends up happening to me now and then is, again, Sherry will be talking about something, and I'll just blurt out, oh my gosh, I had a dream about that. Then I'll tell her about some stupid dream, and she'll look at me for interrupting her like, I am going to drive you to the old folks home right now and just be done with you. But I just wanted to share the dream because it's so rare that it finally comes in.
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
I'm so easily entertained here. Still ahead. Parker's going to give us some of his entertainment news stories for the day. That'll be coming up. And then in our 7 o'clock hour, we will be talking with Ellie Bordeaux. She is the new newsletter editor for Up North News. She's from Oconomowoc, and she joined us just a few weeks ago. And we figure she's had enough orientation at this time, so it's time for the hazing to begin, which includes having to make an appearance on this radio show. And I have a feeling she'll pass the audition, and you'll see her or hear her on most Wednesdays. So that'll be along the way here. Of course, in our 8 o'clock hour, Earl Ingram will tell us what's going on as part of the What's Going On podcast that he does through Civic Media. Melissa Baldoff will talk about the Trump administration announcement on Monday that they're going all in on greatly expanding America's use of coal. Okay. And then big announcement at 8:30 about the 7th Congressional District and somebody who may be running for Congress from here up north. No, Tony, it's not me. Live from the lake, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Turn around.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on to tap.fm/contest-terms.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 93.5 The Tap.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can check out the new video series, Raising Wisconsin, from pediatrician Dr. Kelly Snooks at the Up North News Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok pages. Some great healthcare advice and little news tidbits from Dr. Kelly Snooks. Check that out again on Up North News social media for the Raising Wisconsin series. Just about 6:53 right now, and as always, Parker Olson, our intrepid entertainment and features reporter, is scouring through the interwebs for what he thinks is going to be the quintessential story, the water cooler story that you'll be talking about. Like, for example, what is a water cooler? Nobody gathers around those anymore. It's all just a metaphor these days. So where do you go? What do you guys got out there? You got a box of donuts, I guess, that you guys stand around and talk, right?
We have a water cooler, Pat.
That's true. There actually is a water cooler at Civic Media right outside the conference room there. That's right.
Yeah.
There's a water cooler. Yay, us.
I know that you're used to working at home.
For the old man. But... All right. Yes. It goes glug, glug, glug and everything.
It does. It does go glug, glug, glug.
Mm-hmm. So as you all down there stand around outside of Studio A1 and discuss the world, what do you got for us? What are we talking about?
I will be discussing the Clemente. It's a sports documentary about the great Puerto Rican baseball player Roberto Clemente. Okay. I have yet to watch it yet, but it is streaming right now on History Channel. I didn't know that you could stream stuff on their website, but I guess you can.
You can stream everything everywhere, it seems. I mean, my goodness. Come on. This show is streaming. Everybody gets a stream. You get a stream. The middle-aged man, not so much. Go see your doctor first. But everybody else gets a stream. Roberto Clemente, of course, the baseball player who had just gotten 3,000 hits, if memory serves, and was helping deliver earthquake relief supplies to Nicaragua when he died in a plane crash and was gone far too soon. And it was all about somebody who was truly destined to become one of the all-time greats, not just on the field, but, as you can tell, off the field as well.
Yeah. So the documentary talks about his life both on and off the field. And one of the executive producers is LeBron James.
Okay, that makes sense. Yep.
Does it?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yes,
okay.
It does. Oh, yeah. He's been branching into entertainment. And that is definitely a topic that people in this day and age need to know more about. You know, he doesn't have the name recognition that he used to have. So I'm glad to hear that. So, again, look for the sports documentary. Clemente is the name of it. So how's Dolly Parton's health? What's this about her canceling a show?
It's kind of vague. They haven't given a lot of details, but she had I believe they were in Vegas. She was supposed to have some shows and they were canceled. Apparently she just has some health procedures that she needs to do to take care of herself. But that's kind of all that there is on that.
She's a 79-year-old woman.
Well, yeah.
I mean, my mom is 79 and I cannot think that she would be taking to the stage in Vegas and doing a full show. So I really hope she gets better. I hope whatever she's got has her back on the mend and has her performing again real soon.
Yeah.
So get better soon, Dolly. I love this fuss about a story that you're bringing me about an actress, the latest hot new actress. And people are very unhappy with this hot new actress, Parker.
They are. Tilly Norwood. She's AI.
She's not real.
She's not real.
Not an actual actress.
Yeah, not an actual actress.
So what's your story? Where did she come from?
She came from, I don't have the name of the person, but it was invented by a Dutch actor, also a director, also a physicist, apparently, which is a weird combination. And so it was created by that Dutch person, and apparently acting agencies are going after the AI actress to have in like movies and stuff. And as you would imagine, Hollywood actual actors are not happy.
No, they're not, because part of the last writer's strike dealt with AI and again, making sure that entertainment is done, you know, by artists, by actual human actors and actresses. And so now there's real backlash here, including a statement from the Screen Actors Guild that says creativity is and should remain human centered. To be clear, Tilly Norwood is not an actor. It's a character generated by a computer program that was trained on the work of countless professional performers without permission or compensation. It has no life experience to draw upon. It has no emotion. And from what we've seen, audiences aren't interested in watching computer-generated content untethered from the human experience. Well, I'm not sure that last part is true.
I think people
will definitely watch things that are AI-generated. But the part in the middle, I hope people caught, because you can't have AI without the computers being able to go back and grab other things that have been digitized, movies, TV shows, human voices, and all of that. And it's to that end that, I mean, in some ways, with permission, some people's likenesses can last forever. You know, I think James Earl Jones's estate licensed his voice. And so now you can make him say anything, but you got to have the license to do it. But if you're just grabbing stuff off the internet, and these actors, actresses, animators, everybody else, if they haven't been properly compensated, then the law should have something to say about that.
It's crazy to me how, I suppose this was almost 10 years ago or so now, when Rogue One, the Star Wars movie, they had a digital version of
the
Carrie
actor
who's
since passed away. Yeah. On the Death Star there. Yes.
And that was like, I don't know if we should be doing that. And now, like, AI, go, boom. Like, really?
Again, we're not getting rid of it. And so it really is just a matter of where are the guardrails? Where are the things that just because you can do it, it doesn't mean that it's right to do it if somebody isn't being fairly compensated, or if you're using it to, well, the way Donald Trump was using AI videos over the weekend, you know, to put a sombrero on Hakeem Jeffries and make Chuck Schumer say words that he didn't say, you know, so you're adding racism and lying to videos from the president of the United States. So, yeah, Tilly Norwood, if you want to appear in Donald Trump commercials, that's your business. But let's get you licensed from the people who actually inspired whatever it is you are, because what you are ain't real. More after the 7 o'clock news. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The first federal government shutdown in almost 7 years began at a minute past midnight. Republicans and Democrats are blaming each other after a GOP-backed funding plan failed to pass in the Senate.
Republicans are plunging America into a shutdown.
Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Majority Leader John Thune.
You know, the only real victim here is the American people. This is so unnecessary.
As many as 750,000 federal workers could be furloughed each day. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
In a shutdown, national parks and museums have to close. Social Security and Veterans Services could be delayed.
TSA agents and federal troops have to report to their jobs anyway, but they won't get paid. Tracy Riley volunteers at a VFW hall in New Orleans.
I believe that we're going to have families thrown into even more harsh poverty levels than the military currently has.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.